Abnormal Show Live is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, March 1st, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us today. We got plenty of stuff to get to. Before we do, let me introduce, joining me here in the studio, our own Wiz Calico. How you doing, Wiz?
Aloha, everybody. Doing quite well, man. Glad to be back. Ah, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Glad to have you here. We'll get to talking with the Wiz here in our Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. So make sure you tune in for that. Stay around. We'll also take live calls from the audience at 971-533-7111. Now, on today's show, unfortunately, we once again are missing the lovely Cannabis Carrie from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon. And yes, I know. Yeah. Unfortunately, still having internet difficulties. They got some snow up there in Astoria. It's kind of a rural area. They're still fixing things up there, but we hope to have Cannabis Carrie back on Friday's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, that means I get to bring you today's hemp headlines right after this first break. And in today's headlines, we get news out of California, where a court has decided that nuisance ordinances can't be used to thwart dispensaries. In Michigan, activists are fighting some bills that would tighten the restrictions on medical marijuana. In Rhode Island, it looks like the governor is finally ready to follow through with the opening of three legislated dispensaries there in the state. Back to California, where we'll take a look at the lawsuit on the federal crackdown, which was just thrown out of one court today. And then at the end, if we have enough time, some sports news. A new player for the Pigskin Potheads, the Bengals wide receiver Jerome Simpson, has taken a plea deal in his marijuana trafficking case. We'll give you all the details in the hemp headlines. At 20 after, it's time for Groovin' Thursday. Ganja John will be in to bring us some great hip-hop from Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Not just any Homo Sapien, mind you. A funky Homo Sapien.
A very funky one.
But not a funky Homo Sapien. The funky Homo Sapien. Yeah, he'll be right here at 20 after, so check that out. Then, Terry Joyce and DeJay Kuti in our Southern California segment are going to be calling in live from an L.A. protest about medical marijuana. And then, at the end of the show, we visit with Carlos Negrea from Canada's Students for Sensible Drug Policy, previewing their conference taking place this weekend. All that and more, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
How's it, everyone? This is Yee from Pepper, and you're listening to The Normal Show Live. Over.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elite Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry's off today. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. There's a new medical marijuana ruling from the California courts that is just going to add to the confusion over dispensaries in the Golden State. This from the Associated Press, Santa Ana, California. A California appellate court has ruled that cities cannot use nuisance ordinances to ban medical marijuana dispensaries, further adding to the confusion about how municipalities should regulate clinics protected under state law. The 4th District Court of Appeals on Wednesday struck down a 2010 preliminary injunction by a trial judge that would have shut down Evergreen Holistic Collective in Lake Forest, but a stay was granted. Evergreen was shuttered in October as part of a statewide crackdown by federal authorities. In its ruling, the three-judge panel said nonprofit collectives can only dispense marijuana from where it's cultivated and cannot be brought from somewhere else and dispensed at a store. State law, quote, requires that any collective or cooperative activity involving quantities of marijuana exceeding a patient's personal medical need must be tied to the cultivation site, end quote, the judges wrote. The ruling is the latest in a string of cases that attempts to interpret the state's medical marijuana law and provide guidance for cities and counties that are trying to curtail pot shops. Well, once again, the problem we have in this story is that California's law is so unclear about how dispensaries and collectives are supposed to operate. Even after Proposition 215 and SB 420 tried to, clear that up, things are still as murky as ever. We have some cities that are very welcoming of dispensaries. We have others that zone them out of existence. We have others that try to use these nuisance ordinances that have been mentioned previously here in this case to try to shut them down. And all of this comes about because of the continued need by authorities to try to separate patients from criminals, to try to make sure that only the proper people are getting the marijuana at the stores and that nobody is using those stores to distribute marijuana to healthy people. Oh my God, the horrors that would come about. And I would just like to remind all of these dispensary people and medical marijuana activists in California that you had your opportunity in 2010 to help end this confusion by passing Proposition 19, by legalizing marijuana for all people, not just the sick people, but all people, and would have provided better guidance as to how to deal with the situation of distribution and retail outlets for marijuana. But no, patients organized against that. Some of them did anyway. Some of these dispensaries organized against that. And so you're left with the confusion and the chaos that you have now. You're left with the federal crackdowns that you had now. I really hope that we can work out a much better way to deal with dispensaries or collectives here in the state of California. It seems to me that if we are calling it a collective, then having the marijuana on site at that collective kind of makes sense the way the law is written. The problem is the law is vague and confusing. Let's legalize marijuana for all people so we don't have to keep trying to separate patients for criminals, and we don't have to keep having these strange bans on dispensaries. Now to the state of Michigan, another medical marijuana state, where medical marijuana groups are urging Michigan lawmakers to protect patient rights. This is coming from MichiganMLive.com. Melissa Anders writing, some proposed tweaks to Michigan's medical marijuana law would infringe on patient rights, advocacy groups testified on Thursday. Parts of the law have been tested in several court cases since the act was approved by voters more than 3 years ago. Some have ended up in the Michigan Supreme Court. Now, this bill that is up, the concerns focus mostly on two points: the ability for law enforcement officers to obtain information on medical marijuana patients, and the proposed clarification of a, quote, bona fide physician-patient relationship, end quote. HB 4851 attempts to clarify the definition of bona fide physician-patient relationship, an issue that has come up as some authorities contend it's too easy for non-qualified patients to get medical marijuana cards. In order to prove a bona fide relationship, the legislation proposes that a doctor must review relevant medical records, complete an assessment of the patient's current condition with an in-person exam, create and maintain records, and have reasonable expectation of providing follow-up. Now, Cannabis Patients United, Tim Knowlton of the group, says, quote, all of the amount of time and effort that's placed on making sure that doctors who make medical marijuana recommendations aren't abusing it, I appreciate. But quite honestly, marijuana compared to a lot of illegal prescription drugs is a very benign substance. Unless there's going to be an effort made to root out physicians who are engaged in other practices, pill pushers, for instance, it just seems totally unfair, end quote. Another portion of the bill would allow law enforcement officers, instead of just being able to verify whether a registration card is valid, would also allow them to verify based on name, date of birth, or address, also would allow them to delve into the patient's medical conditions themselves. Now, with regards to this bill, I'll take the second part first. There's no reason that law enforcement needs to know anything about a patient other than the fact that they are a patient. The only reason law enforcement should ever have any access to a patient registry is if they suspect a marijuana crime is being committed, and in that case, only to verify the person involved is a legitimate patient who's not committing a crime. We must always resist these overreaches by law enforcement. But with regard to the bona fide physician-patient relationship, while I understand the activists that are saying it's unfair because we're not concentrating on the pill pushers and so forth, it's a little bit disingenuous because, once again, the pill pushers and all of those things are legal prescription drugs, whereas marijuana is a Schedule I illegal substance that has been given a medical exception to prosecution for and arrest for in the state of Michigan. So it's apples and oranges when we compare marijuana to other prescription drugs. So long as marijuana is illegal for healthy people, and so long as we keep trying to shoehorn all use of marijuana into these medical laws, we're going to have law enforcement and others wanting to make sure that we're following those laws strictly. And they're going to want to make sure that the doctor who is giving this recommendation isn't some fly-by-night, see it in the back of a store, see you in a script mill clinic, who only sees you once ever for 15 minutes and then gives you your card for medical marijuana. They want to make sure that if we're calling this medical, that we're actually treating it like medical, like we're actually having doctors who have follow-ups and keep medical records and follow HIPAA guidelines and so forth. And if you think that's too onerous for people to have to get to use marijuana, then it's time for you to get behind the fight to legalize marijuana for all healthy people without a doctor's permission slip. Now on to the medical marijuana state of Rhode Island. This from TheRepublic.com. Rhode Island Governor Chafee and lawmakers strike a deal to allow medical marijuana dispensaries. David Klepper from the Associated Press writes, Rhode Island lawmakers and Governor Lincoln Chafee announced a compromise Thursday that they say will allow three medical marijuana dispensaries to open soon without the risk of federal prosecution. The deal, which must be approved by the state's General Assembly, would limit the amount of marijuana dispensaries could possess. Chafee blocked three state-approved dispensaries from opening last year after the state's top federal prosecutor warned that large-scale drug distribution could run afoul of federal drug laws. The compromise is good news for the 4,416 people now enrolled in the state's medical marijuana program, according to the Rhode Island Patients Advocacy Coalition. Rhode Island allows qualified patients to possess small amounts of marijuana. Lawmakers approved the Compassion Center law after patients said there were few safe and reliable sources for medical marijuana. The three dispensaries to be licensed are the Thomas C. Slater Compassion Center in Providence, the Summit Medical Compassion Center in Warwick, and the Greenleaf Compassionate Care Center in Portsmouth. Well, kudos to Rhode Island and to Governor Chafee and the lawmakers for finally coming to some sort of compromise, but it was too bad they were frightened by that federal scare in the first place. It's time for governors and attorney generals to not pay attention to what the feds have to say. They're always going to oppose medical marijuana. They're always going to try to scare you into not implementing it. Listen to the will of your people. Listen to the votes of your legislature and make sure you're doing what's right for the people of your state. It's time some governor finally got brave enough to take this fight to the federal government. Back to California for the next piece of news from the San Francisco Chronicle. A lawsuit over medical marijuana's crackdown by the feds has been thrown out. This is written by Bob Eagleco at the sfgate.com. When federal prosecutors in California announced a crackdown on medical marijuana dispensaries last fall, pot suppliers and their advocates claimed in a series of lawsuits that the Obama administration broke a promise to leave them alone if they complied with state law. The suits have gotten a chilly reception in court, and now a federal judge in Sacramento has become the first to dismiss one of them, saying the Justice Department remains free to enforce federal drug laws. Tuesday's ruling allows federal prosecutors to continue a campaign that has shut down a number of dispensaries in California, including the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana in Fairfax and several in San Francisco. A lawyer for a Sacramento collective said one of its patients said they would appeal. The suits were filed in November by marijuana suppliers and patients in each of the state's four federal judicial districts. They relied on the Justice Department's October 2009 memo to federal prosecutors that said they should concentrate on drug trafficking networks and, quote, should not focus federal resources, end quote, on individuals who followed their state's medical marijuana law. But U.S. District Judge Garland Burrell of Sacramento said Tuesday the Justice Department memo was a statement of priorities, not a binding commitment, and did not exempt dispensaries from the federal laws against marijuana cultivation and distribution. Well, these lawsuits were kind of a Hail Mary pass in the first place. Obviously, a Justice Department memo does not carry the force of law. It is not a binding promise. The judicial theory they were trying to work on here was the idea of estoppel, kind of a, like the old entrapment that you used to hear about so many times. It's basically they were saying that, wait a minute, the federal government said we could have dispensaries, and so we had dispensaries. Well, they said that we could have, that they wouldn't bust our dispensaries, let's put it that way. And then we went and made our dispensaries, and then they came and busted us. So they broke their promise, that's entrapment, and we're going to sue. But as the judge rightly points out, the Justice Department memo is just a recommendation of policy priorities. It is not a statement or a promise that can be held in a court of law. So unfortunately, no estoppel, and unfortunately, no easy magic bullet solution to stopping the federal crackdown, aside from ending prohibition. And our final piece of news, we turn to the world of sports from USA Today Sports. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Jerome Simpson pleaded guilty Thursday to felony drug charges after a package of California-grown marijuana was shipped to his Crestview Hills townhouse in September. Simpson, age 26, admitted in Kenton Circuit Court to accepting the package, and in exchange, prosecutors amended the charge from one count of trafficking marijuana in excess of 8 ounces to one count of prohibited acts relating to controlled substances. The penalty for each of the charges is the same, 1 year to 5 years in prison. Kenton Commonwealth's attorney Rob Sanders recommended Simpson serve 60 days of a 3-year sentence behind bars. Simpson would serve the time at the Kenton County Jail, but would be given work release privileges according to the recommendation. Simpson would spend the remainder of the sentence on probation. During that time, he would have to perform 200 hours of community service and complete any drug treatment recommendation by the state's probation department. The plea agreement states that Simpson accepted a package of about 2 pounds of marijuana using the alias Jason Snyder. An additional 0.9 pounds of marijuana and associated paraphernalia in various locations and containers were found at the townhouse. Well, I guess on the bright side, this means next season when we put together our fantasy team, the Normal Show Live Pigskin Potheads, you know, our fantasy team that has only NFL players who've been busted for drugs or a drug test on the team, we'll have a new wide receiver to add to the lineup. So good news there, I guess that's the silver lining. Also, 60 days, three-year sentence. He's only going to get 60 days here, 200 hours of community service. I wonder if that's the kind of sentence you or I would get if we were in the state of Kentucky receiving 2 pounds of marijuana. I wonder if that sentence has been lightened a little bit thanks to his celebrity status as a star NFL player. Of course, we can never know, and we never wish for anyone to do any jail time over marijuana for any reason. Let's just hope that this goes well for Mr. Simpson. All right, and that sound means it's time to take a break. What do you say, Coleco?
Sounds good to me.
What do we got in the bowl?
A little Jack the Rippers, courtesy of Subcool.
Yeah, right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I smell vermin p-tang. The only good vermin p-tang is...
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Well, thanks, everybody. Welcome back. And Ganja John's not in the studio today, but his ghost face is hovering over my shoulder here, right behind me. Can you see that there? Oh, yeah. Frightening. Anyway, Ganja John has sent in a tune for us to play here from one of my favorite hip-hop artists, Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Not just any old Homo Sapien, but a Funky Homo Sapien. Not a Funky Homo Sapien, the Funky Homo Sapien. That's right. And before we get to that, though, I wanted to remind everyone that everything that we bring you here on the Normal Network, all of the shows, the 24-hour programming, it's all made possible thanks to your support and your donations. This project, this whole network, was only started at Normal as a self-funding project. That is, if Normal had to pay for it, it wouldn't exist because our budget is so, so tight at Normal. So it only exists because you guys have been donating. You guys have been sending in your donations here to Normal Show Live to keep it going. So if you'd like to help us out, we are trying to raise $4,200 by 420. You can do it at our WePay site, and you can find that at our blog at stash.normal.org. It's a little widget on the right-hand sidebar. Scroll down a bit, and you can make your donation there through WePay.com, or you can go straight to WePay.com at WePay.com/donate/NSL. We're about 60% of the way there, and the more we raise, the more events we can fly to, the more people we can bring to those events to help cover them for you. So the more you donate, the better the show gets. Thanks for helping us out. We really appreciate that. Also, I'd like to mention our poll that we have up on the blog right now at stash.normal.org. It's our Washington State I-502 poll. Remember, I-502 is the one that would legalize an ounce, but it would also create a 5 nanogram per se DUID. Right now, after 460 votes, the vote is now 64% yes, 36% no. So it's a little less than 2-to-1 support on a stoner blog for legalization. So if you support 502, please get out to stash.normal.org and make your voice heard. All right, Coleco, let's get to the music here. What do you
think? Yeah. Well, real quickly, I just wanted to give a shout out to Tim, who is the talent agent and manager for Dell, as well as Pep Love, who we saw at the Revolution and the Green Show from Ineffable Music Group, because he's awesome. He provided us with all the music from Dell, the Funky Homo Sapien, as well as Hieroglyphics, a lot of great underground hip hop music, and now it's all available for the Normal Network. So I wanted to give Tim from Ineffable Music Group a shout out. Appreciate
him,
my man.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for getting this for us, and you'll be hearing a lot more Dell on the network since now we can play all his tunes.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, this is a song called Fallout. It's Dell, the Funky Homo Sapien. Dig it on your Groovin' Thursday.
I be ripping this shit till it fall out. A lot of these fools be all mouth. Knuckleheads be on the wrong route. I'ma show you all what it's all about.
Keeping it, scoping it, peeping it.
Yo, a lot of these fools be all mouth, but I be ripping this shit till it fall out.
No, not nuclear waste, just the usual case. Sir Diesel, I move at a pace that lets you niggas know I'm true to the game. Keep talking shit about me till you blue in the face. Like Papa Smurf till I rock your world like Bret Michaels. They get off my turf, I'ma get hypo. Fans like my work, my dialect's trifle. I'ma strike you first like a cymbal. I'm nimble in your career, folks. Let the funk ferment on your earlobe. I let it drip dry. You get stigmatized while I enterprise, pimp or die. Your bitch is mine, but I told her to get lost. I spit bars, sicker than Hitchcock. Lift off, jet propulsion. Your neck catch the voltage, boasting, bragging. Foes, I'm so tagging. I ain't scared, I flow with no ad-libs. Renovate your whole cabbage, gold status. Grow gradually, it's no rush. Leave you in the dust, cause you slow as fuck. I be ripping this shit till it fall out. A lot of these fools be all mouth. Knuckleheads be on the wrong route. I'ma show you all what it's all about. Getting it, keeping it, scoping it, keeping it, getting it, keeping it, scoping it, keeping it.
Yo, a lot of these fools be all mouth. But I be ripping this shit till it fall out. I be ripping this shit till it fall out. A lot of these fools be all mouth. Knuckleheads be on the wrong route. I'ma show you all what it's all about.
Getting it, keeping it, scoping it, keeping it.
Yo, a lot of these fools be all mouth, but I'll be ripping this shit till it fall out.
No, not what you expect, my voluptuous sex be enough to get you utterly vexed, or on the dance floor just covered in sweat. Smooth as butter and I publicly rep Oakland, California like I'm thugging to death. Like Tupac, collect publishing checks. What do you got? You're still rubbing your neck, cause I stay in tune. Plus an effect like karma, disarm your crew with no harm done. No joke with jargon, rhyme till the song done. You should see it, I'm superseded. Troops and leaders, juice by the leaders. Too hype to beat it, increase importance. And publicize a portion, rush like endorphins. Trust my endorsement, my recommendation of extrasensory sensation, jubilation. You can't say shit, you're too impatient. Loose and flagrant, and used to hating. You lackadaisical, I got the aptitude to amaze. The skill and plus it pay the bills. I be ripping this shit till it fall out. A lot of these fools be all mouth. Knuckleheads be on the wrong route. I'ma show you all what it's all about. Getting it, keeping it, scoping it, keeping it. Getting it, keeping it, scoping it, keeping it.
Yo, a lot of these fools be all mouth, but I be ripping this shit till it fall out. I be ripping
ripping this shit till it fall out. A lot of these fools be all mouth. Knuckleheads be on the wrong route. I'ma show you all what it's all about. Yo, a lot of these fools be all mouth. But I be ripping this shit till it fall out.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
Something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
That just has something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening pot and politics immediately following Danny Danko's Free Weed here on
The Libra Lounge.
It's time for a return to the epicenter of American cannabis culture. With our guest, you know her from season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's the Hollywood Hemptress herself, Terry Joyce.
All right, time to go down to California. Terry Joyce is live outdoors. Where are you, Terry?
I am standing in front of a federal building in Los Angeles. There's a huge protest happening today, the smoke out for safe access, and Cypress Hill, a lot of the entertainers, B-Real, was out here today speaking, as well as other rappers, and we are here to protest against what the Obama administration has been doing, the federal involvement with medical marijuana. We want to have states' rights and to have our local city rights as well.
No, that's
so
awesome.
I'm right out here. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, it's 4:33 here on the West Coast. When did you guys get started?
We got started at 4:20. There was a gathering at 4 p.m. at City Hall. And then we started to march to the federal building at 4:20. We just landed here. Apparently, we're going to have some other speakers. I did hear that maybe Tommy Chong was going to be here, and there's going to be some other people that will be speaking to the crowd today. So we'll see what unfolds.
Do you have any estimates on the crowd size right now?
I would say there's probably about 50 people out here, and they all have signs that some of them say smoke out for safe access, marijuana is medicine, and reclassify cannabis at safeaccessnow.org. There's also, that's like really the main sign. There's one guy who has revolution up, and there's a few of the 99ers are out here too as well, because, you know, the Occupy people also understand that what's happening with marijuana is also related to what's happening with everything.
Yeah.
So
you keep saying it's the smoke. You keep saying it's a smoke out for safe access. Is there an actual smoke out happening? Are people openly consuming?
Yes, Yes. There is actually, it is happening. They have it up at Cypress Hill. It's a big celebration that goes on all the time. The Smokeout. I have not been to it yet. The Smokeout Festival. If you want to find out about it, it's at smokeoutfestival.com. How long has it been going on for?
It's its ninth year right now.
Right. I've actually done the Smokeout Festival a couple years running, and it's one of the best, most polished events I've been to nationwide. I'd highly recommend anyone checking it out. We've also got to. Go ahead, Terry.
You know, there's Stephanie Bishop is here standing next to me. She says hi.
Oh, hello, Stephanie. Hello.
She says hello.
Big protest going on in Los Angeles. Terry Joyce is live in front of the federal building there in L.A. We've also got DeJ Couty from the Patients Advocacy Network on the line. DeJ, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you, Russ.
I just did a story today in the news about this recent Fourth Circuit ruling on the nuisance ordinances and them not being able to use nuisance ordinance to shut down collectives. Do you have more information on that you can share with our audience?
You know, the things that I'm looking at right now is the People versus Colvin, that decision that just came out in the California Court of Appeals, and Assembly Bill 2312, which was just published with the State Assembly on Friday. Those are kind of the big items right now. It appears that the judge in the Colvin case recognizes that when a collective does have a cultivation model, that having a storefront is one of the legitimate components of getting medicine to patients. So there's another ruling that kind of looks at the potential legitimacy of storefront dispensaries. And, of course, with AB 2312, Tom Amiano's bill is saying that cities and counties cannot ban collective and cooperative collectives as well as their affiliated entities, including storefront dispensaries. And people will, if this bill passes, get to apply for their license through the state and go around some of these cities that don't quite want to deal with the medical cannabis issue. So really interesting move forward in the last few days with medical cannabis here in the state of California.
Yes, yes. And in reading that ruling, it had something, you know, I read something to do with the fact that they were saying if you're going to be a collective, then the marijuana had to be grown on site if you're going to have a storefront there. Is that giving more clarity to what's going on, or is it making things more difficult?
The problem is with on-site cultivation is whether or not the location you have is appropriate for on-site cultivation as well as retail. Mm. And for the most part, it seems like planning commissions and planning committees understand that. They understand that you might not want warehouse cultivation going on in the same location where you have the actual dispensing showroom, but there needs to be a demonstration that the two are linked.
Right. Okay. Now, another thing that happened in the courts today in California was the lawsuit over the Ogden memo, trying to sue, saying it was a kind of entrapment when they put out that memo, got thrown out of one of the courts. Any news of how it's going in the other three?
I have not heard anything. I heard that got thrown out of court in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I have not heard how any of the other courts. I thought the San Diego court had already let that case go as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to Terry, who's live at the LA Federal Building there at the protest.
Yes. Can you hear it? They're chanting right now. Let me tell you something. I'm smelling the smell of cannabis right here in front of the federal building.
That's fantastic. What's the chant?
Let me see. What are they saying? DEA go away.
DEA go away. All right.
DEA. Oh, whoops. We heard a little sound. I thought I heard a sound from the cop, so we're fine. Yeah, they're saying DEA go away.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little gun shy actually.
I don't blame you. Now, you said that you had a crowd there of about 50 people, and I got people in the chat room that are kind of surprised. They're saying, "Wait a minute, isn't this L.A., California, the land of medical marijuana? Why so few?"
Well, you know, I might be off on my estimates now, rethinking it. I'm thinking maybe there might be like 75 out here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to consider that, you know, it is like still a weekday and it's 4:30 in the afternoon. There were a lot of people that it looks like they came down from Cypress Hill.
Okay.
And it looks like, and they're very connected to, like, you know, the fans of Be Real and some of the other bands that are, you know, some of the marijuana bands.
Gotcha. How long is this protest planned to go on?
I believe it's probably going to go on for, I really don't know. I didn't see a time limit, like, you know, and I'm thinking probably another hour or so.
Yeah.
It seems like we're pretty much going to be congregating in front of the federal building, making our statement. There was ABC Eyewitness News was out here. Of course, you know, there's a few cops around and stuff like that, but they're all, you know, they seem to be very relaxed around us, you know, they've got their arms folded and they're kind of just chilling. I actually have a feeling that cops actually really like marijuana people.
There we go. At least we're easier to deal with, that's for sure. Josh in our chat room says everyone's getting ready for American Idol.
Yeah, oh, God. What is happening to us?
No kidding. So
there's no emergency in L.A., unfortunately. You know what I mean? We've got between 800 and 1,000 dispensaries. Safe access in L.A. isn't really been impeded upon, and so, you know, if people are getting together, it's mostly for fun, not because they think it's an emergency situation.
Yeah, that's a good thing that you should be pointing out there. Thanks for bringing that up, DJ, is the fact that, you know, in LA, as these issues get more and more complex and detailed and nuanced, and it's no longer, oh my God, they're going to shut me out of my dispensary. Yeah, now you're just getting the hardcore, dedicated activists who are coming out to these kind of things.
Well, right. Like I said, we've got this one, you know, another case that comes out that's kind of legitimizing storefront dispensaries as being part of a collective model. And we've got our state assembly looking at a bill that tells cities and counties they can no longer ban these institutions. The collectives are a little bit stronger today in L.A. And around the state than they ever have been.
That's really, really good news. We're glad to hear that. Terry, I hear some more activity going on there live. Got new speakers coming up or something?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it looks like Bruce Margolin is taking the stage right now.
Hmm.
And it's Bruce Margolin. Getting with his, he's got the bullhorn now.
Can you get close enough to get us a listen?
What?
Can you get close enough so we can hear him?
I can get close enough to hear him. I'll go even closer if you want.
Yeah, let's see if we can get some live audio.
Okay, here he is. Here's Bruce Margolin. He hasn't started yet. He seems to be talking with somebody to the side.
For folks that don't know, Bruce Margolin is the head of...
He looks really nice. He has a nice little red tie on and his beard very trim. Here he is. He's doing the mic check like a...
Occupy.
Like a, here he goes. He seems to not be using the bullhorn. We can make things happen, is what he said.
Okay. So we're not going to be able to hear him very well.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
That's fine, but that's great. For folks who don't know, Bruce Margolin is the longtime, I think, three-decade head of Los Angeles Normal and a criminal defense attorney, member of the Normal Legal Committee, who's been working there to help marijuana consumers for years and years and years. All right, well, I'm going to let you go to get back to the protest and have your fun there. And if you get a chance to talk to any luminaries or get any sound clips, just let us know, okay?
I will. I'm taking my own footage, so I'll be, like, putting that up on YouTube and stuff like that, so I'll definitely let you know.
Now, will this be part of Hollywood Hemptress Hour later on, maybe next week?
Yes, Hollywood Hemptress Hour. We did an episode last Wednesday. I did a two-part interview of George Clayton Johnson.
Oh, good.
Who is so he's going to be, he aired just yesterday, so that will be the part two, will be the download. And then next week, I'm working on getting Jeff Brown from the season I was on last Comic Standing to come on the show. So
Hopefully
he's going to okay it. He'll be on the show next week.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Terry, and we'll let you go right now and continue on with DJ for a little bit, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, back to DJ Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network. Before we go much further, I want to make sure you give people the website address so they can contact you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, if people want to follow us on Twitter, we're at PAN for Compassion, P-A-N, the number 4, Compassion. And our website is cannabis.com. CannabisSavesLives.org.
CannabisSavesLives.org. All right. Now, as we look to the future here for the Patients Advocacy Network and marijuana in California, what are the next few mileposts that we're going to be crossing here? What are the next few projects that you've got for people to be aware of?
Well, one, everyone should familiarize themselves with this new assembly bill and see where it is the state is heading, because the state will vote on something this year.
Yeah.
So this bill that just came out, some amended version of this bill is going to become California state law before the end of the year. So people should familiarize themselves with that. And the other thing that PAN has been working on really diligently is we published a position paper back in December talking about the problems with a strict rescheduling, and that cannabis would be much better served if it was regulated under the ATF code for beer and microbreweries and vineyards and wineries. Mm-hmm. All of the language has already been developed for this law as far as packaging and quality and strength and purity and weight and, you know, all these different things that we hear and see in local regulations is already part of federal code with respect to beer and wine. And you could easily put cannabis in this same model.
Hmm.
The concern with rescheduling is that it goes straight into the hands of Big Pharma and the FDA, and we will not be able to have self-cultivation or dispensaries under Schedule 2 through 5.
Right.
And the safest way to be able to know that patients can grow their own on a small level, or, you know, some of the collectives we have that, you know, are a little bit larger scale, but they're not on the same scale of like a Budweiser or anything like that. But there are definitely collectives that have a handful of warehouses, and they're producing medicine for their patients, kind of like we talked about. And hopefully we can see a model that, on a federal level, that is going to look at this more like hops and grapes, mm-hmm. and not like a pharmaceutical, which is unfortunately where I think the battle we see in Washington. I think one of the reasons why changing the laws with cannabis has been so long time coming is the internal battle that's going on in Washington between Big Pharma and Big Tobacco, and who is going to get their hands on cannabis and who is going to get the profit from it. And I think we really need to make sure that we as cannabis consumers and cultivators are helping to guide what any future policy changes in Washington are going to look like. And it's difficult to just present Congress with a problem. You also have to present a solution. Mm-hmm. And you'll see in this position paper that we published, it's titles 24 and 25 in the ATF code specifically address how to regulate breweries and wineries. And you could change that language and call it, you know, a cannabis garden, and it would fit in this model very well. So I encourage people, you know, if they go to our website and scroll through our blog as well as through our Twitter feed, they'll find the link to the position paper and all of the research and links and everything that go with it, so people can educate themselves. It's just a 6-7-page position paper with another 6-7 pages of actual resources and legal research.
All right. Well, DeJ, isn't this, though, a corner we've kind of painted ourselves in? For 15 years, we've been saying marijuana is medical and the people that use it are patients. And so now the federal government's saying, okay, well, medicine belongs in schedules. And now you're saying, no, wait, it should be treated like microbrews and wine. I mean, it kind of seems like medical kind of got us to the point where Big Pharma wants to reschedule it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think taking that approach that, you know, that it's purely medicinal as opposed to it being a therapeutic herb.
Yeah, there we go.
Has been, you know, and that's the way I look at cannabis, is a therapeutic herb. By everyone trying to push this medical, you're absolutely right. Big Pharma as well, like you said, if it's medical, then it has to be a specific titration that you mm-hmm. can repeat time and time again. And, of course, there's always that argument that we hear from the FDA that nothing smokable can be medical.
Right. Right.
And it was very interesting you bring that up, because I had this conversation with someone yesterday. What would the landscape look like today across the country if in 1996 California's Prop 215 was a recreational use bill as opposed to it being a medical bill? What would things look like right now? And I think, like I said, I know one of the reasons why California's Prop 215 looks the way it did is they knew that voters would vote on it.
Yeah, that's pragmatism.
You're right, but you're absolutely right in that by doing that, we did paint ourselves into a corner that we're certainly trying very desperately to get ourselves out of, especially, like I said, you know, this whole conundrum of Schedule 2 through 5, I don't know that collectives and cultivators fully realize that they would still be in a lot of jeopardy with cannabis being anywhere in the Controlled Substances Act. It shouldn't be a controlled substance because, like I said, it's, you know, I believe it's a therapeutic herb, and we don't need to treat it like you know, heroin or opium or any of the other substances anywhere in the Controlled Substances Act.
Absolutely. Well said. Dejay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network. Give them the website and Twitter handle again.
CannabisSavesLives.org, and our Twitter feed is PAN4Compassion.
Is that FOR?
That's the number 4.
Okay. So
PAN number 4 Compassion.
Right
PAN4
on.
Compassion.
Dejay Kuti, thanks for joining us here, and we'll hear you again on the Hollywood Hemp Hour, I believe, right? You're co-hosting?
Yes, I co-host with Terry fairly regularly. Thanks for having me on, Russ. You take care.
You too. Thanks so much. When we're back with Canadian SSDP right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hey, what up? This is Zerf Ball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to The Normal Show Live.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you're going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 53 after the hour, we are joined by an activist from Calgary, which I'm told is the way you pronounce it, not Calgary. It's Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Carlos is on the line with us. And Carlos, would you pronounce your last name so I don't slaughter it?
It's Nygraeff.
Nygraeff.
It's a tough one.
Thank you. Nygraeff. I was saying Nygraeff, but Nygraeff. Okay, from Calgary. University of Calgary is hosting the Canadian Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's CSSDP's fifth annual drug policy conference. And so this is the first year as we're a University of Calgary club, and we figured we're the newest chapter of Canadian Students for Sensible Drug Policy. So with this omnibus crime bill, we figured what better place to host the next national conference in Calgary, Alberta, the Prime Minister's home constituency. So
that's right.
What we're doing is just trying to aim at, our theme is progress, not prison. So what we're aiming is at highlighting the harms of drug policy and reducing those, as well as talking about what can be done to make progress and like move forward and step away from something such as the prison industrial complex, which, as I've heard on this stash for a long time, is a terrible thing, and I agree with it, and I'm just so honored to be on it, your stash here.
Hey, we're glad to have you here, and we're always glad to get young people, students especially, who are organizing and putting together SSDP and normal chapters out there to help fight this, because you guys are the ones getting busted. Middle-aged guys like me, not very likely. It's going to be you that gets busted, and it's important for your generation to stand up. Folks, if you want to get more information on this, it's this weekend, the 2nd through the 4th. You get info at cssdp.org for Canada, ssdp.org. cssdp.org's got all the information. Now, as far as your activism goes, how long have you been involved with the, you said it was just a new chapter, but how long has this been an issue for you personally?
Well, I've been working on putting this chapter together for about 3 years now, since I actually started listening to the audio stash. I listened to it for a bit. And with Mark Emery's imprisonment and extradition, I figured that was the galvanizing moment for me. So that's when I started getting into, it was about December 2009. I was listening to the podcast, thinking like what I could do. So I figured out there was CSSDP, so I got it started. So it's been 3 years in the making. It's finally off the ground. It's just been one of those things where I figured I know other people agree with me on it, so it's time to speak out.
Do you realize you've just made my week, man? When I hear someone say, I listened to the podcast and it made me want to start a chapter, and I don't care a chapter or what, but to get involved like you're getting involved, that's the biggest compliment you give to me, so I really appreciate that. Let me talk to you about Stephen Harper, your prime minister up there. A lot of people, I kind of joke about this. I'm saying Canada is kind of going through its 1980s right now.
I actually agree with you on that. You've got
Stephen Harper here, who's led this new conservative uprising in Canada, and they're trying to do some of the same stupid things with drug policy that we did in the 1980s. So for folks here, you know, south of the border that may not know, tell them what's going on here in Canada and how bad it's getting.
Well, what they're trying to do is introduce mandatory minimum sentencing for nonviolent drug crimes. So you grow 6 plants, you can go to jail for a mandatory minimum of 6 months, and there's aggravating conditions which make it a 9-month. And as we all know the arguments, it doesn't make any sense to send everybody to prison when, especially like this government, their goal is they've been claiming to be fiscally conservative. They're cutting back on all sorts of social programs, like including our health care, which is public, and somehow they're finding money to spend on a prison system. So it kind of doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And like, I figure like he went to, like Stephen Harper went to the economy school here and like was in the economy department at the University of Calgary. And how does he not notice that this doesn't make any sense? So
yeah.
I figured somebody's got to say it. And like, especially to show that even people at his hometown don't agree with him. This is a conservative stronghold, or supposed to be. So
yeah,
it's like not all of us agree.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Carlos, for getting involved and joining and forming a University of Calgary SSDP chapter. For more information on the conference, check out the website right there, cssdp.org. It starts tomorrow, goes through Sunday. And if you've never...
We have a live stream as well.
Oh, sorry. Tell them about that. Yeah, live stream. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry about that, but I hate to interrupt, but we have a Twitter live stream going on and a Ustream live stream. Search up CSSDP12 or hashtag CSSDP12 in both, and that's all I can say. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Carlos, for joining us here on the show, and we'll talk to you sometime in a few weeks and get a report on how it went.
I'm very honored.
All right. Thank
Peace
you so
out,
much.
Everybody.
Peace out. All right, folks, that's it for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us here on the show, and stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. Coming up next, me and Wiz Khalifa are going to talk about the latest politics, everything that's going on. Those of you who follow politics may realize there's been a death, a very shocking, sudden death. Nothing about marijuana politics or anything, but we'll talk about that more in Hour 2. Plus, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. So for Wiz Khalifa, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson.